This episode is brought to you in part by Richmond Graduate University. The field of mental health counseling is growing rapidly. Richmond Graduate University can equip you to become a licensed professional counselor, integrating your faith into your clinical practice. Programs are offered in Atlanta, Chattanooga, and online. Apply today at richmond.edu.
Your eyes on the times, you walk ready to speak up, but with so many problems, you're exhausted trying to keep up.
This is the Church Politics Podcast, where you can get political commentary from a biblical worldview. We're not trying to be conservative or progressive, we're trying to be Christian in the public square.
And I'm black as heaven, I'm made in God's image, nobody can change my settings. Amen, cut off my knees and put an end to my search. It's easy to sell your soul when you don't know what it's worth.
With your no good Ann Camp, you're listening to the Ann Campaign's Church Politics Podcast with Justin Gibney, a.k.a. Bishop Cooper's grandson, and the Windy City representative, the baddest brother above the Mason-Dixon line, my play cousin, the Right Reverend Christopher Butler. Now, you guys know that Chris has been gone for a little while. He's been on vacation, jet-setting here and there. But I was talking to Slewfoot Sammy, and we're a little disappointed because I don't know how somebody is skiing in the slopes of Vail, going to wineries all across the Italian, whatever they call it. Just going all over the world, man, jet setting. And don't bring us back nothing. I didn't get a cigar. I didn't get a t-shirt from Greece. You know what I'm saying? This man been all around the world, been gone from the podcast for what, 3 weeks, whatever it was. And I didn't get nothing. What's up with that, man? You forgot about me and Slewfoot, man.
I think the only way that happens is if the person who was jet-setting all over in Arizona, as if he was also jet-setting with six children, I think I'd get a pass.
Excuse. I didn't give you no pass. So if you get a pass, maybe somebody gave you a pass. I didn't give you no pass for that. I'm messing with Chris.
I'll give you one, and then you give it back to me.
I'm messing with Chris, man. Him and his family had a nice little vacation, but, you know, we always got to give him a hard time when he comes back, all right? So that's just how we do it on this show. But before we get into this show and even get into the rest of it, I want to early on give a trigger warning. Because I never want somebody to come into this show, listening to this show, and be triggered. So I want you to know what you're getting into before you commit to listening to this particular episode. And it's just this episode. You know, there may be other episodes that may be better for you, but this may not be for certain people, okay? So I want to give a trigger warning to those who cannot handle hearing their preferred presidential candidate get critiqued. If you don't like your presidential candidate or your party getting critiqued, do not listen to this episode. Run away, turn it off, go to the next podcast, whatever you got to do. If you're one of those people who is so partisan that thinks everybody's every word and every comment has to be about making sure your guy gets into office, just turn this one off. You're not going to like this one. And I don't want to have y'all emailing me, getting mad at me because you heard something you didn't like. Just walk away. All right. So I want to give that trigger warning. I didn't know if Chris had anything to add to that.
No, yeah, we might consider for the listener to start categorizing the episodes and put all of our critique for one candidate in one. Then we'll have, you know, you have your link that you can go to. So maybe if there are volunteers out there among our listeners who want to.
Maybe somebody would be willing to set that up. Yeah, maybe somebody would be willing to set that up. Now, I do have pretty cool news today, though. And that is that you can't tell if you're watching on YouTube, which for some reason y'all don't want to watch it on YouTube, but you can't tell. But me and Chris are actually in the same building. We are at Ann Campaign headquarters. We just got done doing a civic revival workshop here in Atlanta. We are in the same place, and we're actually headed to New York, Redeemer, City to City, New York, later today. So in between workshops and flying out of the city, we had to come give you this episode, all right? So we are here together, even though you can't tell.
We got to get an in-studio set up at some point.
Yeah, we got to make it happen. We'll get there eventually. But as always, you know, I want to give a shout out to all our patrons and supporters for supporting us in what we do and how we do it. If you are watching on YouTube, then make sure that you like and subscribe. And for everybody that is a patron on patreon.com/churchpolitics, you know that you get premium episodes. So, you know, we get fairly raw. We always keep it real and 100 on the episodes, but we even talk about stuff that we don't even talk about on the regular episodes, on the premium episodes. So if you become a patron on patreon.com/churchpolitics, you'll get even more of this and campaign church politics content. All right. So y'all know what to do. Check us out. Show some support, because we cannot do this without you. But let's get into it. Grab your Bible. Get your mind right and prepare to think not like a Republican, not like a Democrat, but to think like a Christian. So usually our episodes start with scripture. And those of you who have been listening to us know that. So there's no surprise. But I'm not just going to put a scripture in there just to put one in. Right. So this particular episode, because of the critiques and the nature of them, always Christian, you know, we're not going outside those lines. But there's not a particular scripture that I think matches with this conversation. And again, I'm not just going to add one just to add one. All right. So that's what's up with that. But let's get into it. Trump's support in the Black community, and this has really been big news, Chris, you know that. Trump's support in the Black community is above 20% in some polls. I think maybe over 25% in a few of them. And that's a record for a modern Republican presidential candidate. Now, I say modern Republican presidential candidate, because before Kennedy, before the Southern Strategy, a large group of Black people, large number of Black people voted Republican. You recall that it was the party of Lincoln. A lot of things happened in between that time, but that's just the, you know, that's just the history of it. And while you see this rise in Trump's numbers, you also obviously see Joe Biden's support has dropped. And in the last poll that I looked at, it had dropped to 63%, down from 92%. So those are significant numbers, right? There's nothing, you know, that you have to say about that. They kind of speak for themselves. Well, a Fox News commentator provided us with an interesting explanation as to what was causing this shift. And so, Slufa, go ahead and play that first clip.
But look, every time they try to say Trump, they try to stop him at a trial, or they try to throw all of this, sludge at him, he somehow survives, which must drive his opponents crazy, because even the sneaker thing, I was on social media last night. Very interesting. As you see Black support eroding from Joe Biden, this is connecting with Black America because they love sneakers or into sneakers. They love the, you know, this is a big deal, certainly in the inner city. So when you have Trump roll out his sneaker line, they're like, wait a minute, this is cool. He's reaching them on a level that defies and is above politics. The culture always trumps politics. And Trump understands culture like no politician I've ever seen.
Question for you on that point, though.
So you saw it. Apparently, Black people are starting to support Trump and walking away from Biden because Trump released a new sneaker and Black people love sneakers. That was the expert opinion that we just received. You know, Chris, sometimes people reveal what little regard they have for you in the strangest moments. Moments just like that. Those shoes are cold. Therefore, you should be the president of the United States. Those trademark infringement fake Jordans are so nice. We should put you in a position to nominate the Supreme Court justices. That you should handle foreign policy, that you should be the leader of the free world because you released some shoes. Does anyone, and I hope, man, I want y'all to answer this, but does anyone really believe that that's how Black people are going to make their decision for who they vote for president? Do you think that we would dismiss what's going on with the economy, dismiss criminal justice, dismiss foreign affairs, including who might send our sons off to war based on some golden shoes? But this is how out of touch some people are. If Biden is losing Black support, which the numbers say that he is, we're not giving you an opinion on that. It's not because of Trump's shoe game. We got to do better. Go ahead, Chris. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know that there's a lot to say about this comment. I mean, I will say that if you just test the veracity of the statement that Black people like sneakers, there might be some there. There are a lot of Black people who I know who do like sneakers. And I even looked at the data. We spend disproportionately more on footwear than the rest of the population. I'm not ashamed to say that. That is just what it is. And there is a historical connection between sneaker culture and Black culture. And when you look back and see the Black athletes coming into the NBA as the kind of basketball shoe is growing, and you got the, you know, late 80s and early 90s and Run DMC and Michael Jordan and Spike Lee. And so Black people like sneakers. All right. But do you really think that's how Black people make their decision about who they're going to vote for president of the United States? Because as far as I know, and I did not get to do just an extensive research, but as far as I know, not one candidate who has ever enjoyed the majority support of African Americans actually had a gym shoe. That's what we call it in Chicago for the listeners. We call it a gym shoe, not a sneaker. But I don't think anybody ever had that. So Black people have begun to go away from Joe Biden, and some have begun to go toward Donald Trump before he released a shoe. He got booed at the sneaker con when he was there releasing the shoe in Philadelphia. He was booed. So the shoe didn't win that crowd. It seems to me that what you have, unfortunately, it's just the words of a really uninformed person with a really large platform on a major news network. That's probably not common for our society today. So, you know, we can probably just set it aside.
Yeah. Well, the bad part is that it doesn't stop there. There's another clip. Let's just roll it, man. There's not much to say about it. Roll that second clip, Slewfoot.
Indicted a second time and a third time and a fourth time. And a lot of people said that's why the Black people like me, because they have been hurt so badly and discriminated against. And they actually viewed me as I'm being discriminated against. It's been pretty amazing. But it.
So there you have it. First, we have someone say that the shoe is the explanation for the change. Then we have Trump himself saying that Black people identify with him because he's being indicted and he's being victimized, I guess. I want to share a little known fact. Well, it seems to be a little known fact around, I guess, around some circles about African-Americans. Most Black people are not criminals, nor do they think that being indicted is a badge of honor. I'm not sure who is advising Trump on this matter. I would look into getting some new advisors in that regard if they're telling you that's what's connecting you with a lot of Black people. I mean, like you said, it almost leaves you speechless, Chris, to think that somebody would say something like that and think that the people that they are trying to get to vote for them wouldn't take offense to that in some way. Very interesting. But the fact remains, he is getting more votes. Now, he was getting more votes certainly before the shoes came out. He was getting more votes even before most of these indictments came out. So that's very unlikely to be the explanation. Something's going on here. And although our expert analysis in those two clips is probably very wrong, you know, somebody probably needs to get to the bottom of what's going on here. And maybe there's an opportunity for Democrats to do it, but something tells me they will not. Any comments on this Trump commentary?
I'm gonna point to this article a couple of times, but somebody actually has done a little bit of work, actually talked to Black people, at least a sampling of Black people who have switched their support from Biden to Trump. One of the things that I would urge the former president to pay attention to is that more than one person said that they feel like some aspect of his policy agenda outweighs his racist rhetoric. These are not my words. These are the words of voters. But it should really say something to your folks, even folks who are supporting you, are telling you that they're doing it in spite of you. But I don't know. There are probably other people on the other side of the aisle, on other news networks, Justin, that have a better read on this situation. Probably should just listen to them.
Well, here's the interesting thing. It's not only the Republicans making comments like this. The Democrats are actually getting in on the fun as well. And we will talk about that when we come back on the Church Politics Podcast. Are you too progressive for conservatives and too conservative for progressives? As a Christian, do you find yourself feeling politically homeless? If so, then you're not alone. Listen, this is Justin Gibney, president of the AND campaign. And if you're a Christian who doesn't know a whole lot about politics, or someone who knows a good deal about politics but wants to be more faithful in the public square, then you have to read the AND campaign's book, Compassion and Conviction, the AND campaign's guide to faithful civic engagement that we publish with InterVarsity Press. Whether you just want to understand the relationship between church and state, why Christians should engage politics at all, how Christians should engage partisanship, politics and race, advocacy and protest, or even civility, this is the book for you. It's very much Bible-centered. It's Bible study and small group friendly. There are questions and exercises after every chapter that give you a framework for engaging politics in a biblical way. So if you want to do it in a better way, get our book, Compassion and Conviction, the AND campaign's guide to faithful civic engagement. And we are back on the Church Politics Podcast with Justin Gibney and the Right Reverend Christopher Butler. So we just went over some expert analysis on why more Black people are supporting Trump, analysis which we found to be completely wrong and baseless. But it's not just the Republicans, Chris, that have an explanation as to why more Black people are walking away from, you know, some of the things the Democrats are doing. The Democrats have their own explanation. And my man Van Jones offered his explanation about why Black people aren't supporting Democrats as much as they were in 2020. Now, I'll be clear with you. I actually like Van Jones. I appreciated his last book, which encouraged Americans to build relationships, talk across ideological lines and divides, provided actually some hope for uniting America. And I thought it was good. I mean, he's somebody who's always civil and usually very thoughtful. But sometimes my man gets a little too partisan and seems to be using Democratic talking points instead of just shooting us straight. And that's, you know, I'm just calling it like I see it in that regard. So again, let's just go to the Van Jones clip and see what he has to say.
Criminal justice reform and some of the stimulus support was welcome. So what's actually happening, though, is that there is an online influence campaign.
Correct.
Some of it, I think, is coming from Russia, China, and Iran that is whipping up that conversation way in unnaturally.
Yeah, but let me ask you.
You have a question. Go ahead. So there's a solid block that's not going to move. There is some actual legitimate frustration and fatigue. But there's also, and we have to talk about it more, an online influence campaign designed to depress and distress Black voters and to split and to split Black voters.
There you have it. So according to the left, more Black people are kind of walking away from the Democratic Party because of Iran, China, and Russia. And Chris, to me, this sort of goes along with the new, what seems to me, I guess, is a new Democratic strategy, which is when some reality isn't what you would like it to be, it's always easier to blame Russia than actually taking responsibility for what you aren't doing. And just like what we heard from Fox News, I think this explanation is completely insulting, right? That African Americans wouldn't be able to just look at the issues, look at their life, look at their economics and things. And this isn't to say who, we're not making a judgment on who's going to do this better. That's for y'all to decide. Okay. We're not making that judgment for you. But to think that a group of people would ignore everything and just be basing their opinion off this false information that they get, I guess, somewhere on social media. Nobody else's vote is explained by Russia, but our vote is completely explained by Russia. And that is a better guess. That's a better explanation than just taking some type of responsibility that maybe there's a disconnect and maybe the Democrats need to do something better. Right? I tend to think that a lot of different people in a lot of different cultures and demographics voted for Trump, whether I agree with them or not, voted for him because they were sick of the establishment on both sides, sick of getting lied to, and they said, just tear the whole thing up. I think it was almost a vote for out of distrust for the establishment more than it was a vote for Trump. I could be wrong. I haven't done a poll. That's just me. You know, that's just what I've seen and heard. But to say, I don't know. I mean, I don't know that Van Jones meant to be so insulting, but I think it was. I think it was just as insulting as what we heard before. Like, people can't make up their own minds. They can't see through. I don't even know where all this propaganda is supposed to be coming from, but they wouldn't be able to see through that and look at their own lives and make a decision. They'd have to, you know, depend on what Russia and Iran and China are doing. But go ahead, Chris.
It is insulting, if that is possible. I kind of feel like it's a little bit insulting to Van Jones. Like, would it not be reasonable to think that some Black people might be switching their support to Donald Trump because he worked with Van Jones to pass the First Steps Act that actually changed some things around drug sentencing and federal mandatory minimums and got some folks some time off their sentences and actually made some progress on an issue that a lot of Black people do care about, which is the war on drugs and the disproportionate impact, a negative impact that that has had on Black people. Would Black people not be looking at something like that and then looking at Joe Biden and saying, well, we haven't seen progress on voting rights, haven't seen progress on police reform, and saying, you know, maybe I'm going to switch my work. So I want to refer people to an old practice. This is a little bit old school, but it's called journalism. And this is when a person goes to talk to people and then writes about the things that they hear from the people they talk to. And about a month ago, there is an article that was published in The Guardian from a person who committed one of these old school acts of journalism, came down here to the great state of Georgia and talked to Black voters who had switched their support from Biden to Trump for this upcoming election. In those comments that you see reported there, there's nothing just about Donald Trump's gym shoes. There's nothing about the laudable nature of Donald Trump's indictments, and there's nothing about Russian influence campaigns. What you hear from voters is stuff about broken promises on student debt relief, a lack of progress, like I talked about, on voting rights and police reform. You hear Black men in particular say that in spite of what they perceive as racist rhetoric from Donald Trump, they feel like his policies create more economic opportunity that outweighs his racist rhetoric as they perceive his rhetoric. These are real feelings of real people. This is not to say that I agree with all of those feelings or all of that assessment, but I do know people who have changed their support. And none of the people who I know, and like you, I haven't done a poll. This is anecdotal, so I might just be missing it. The poll might show that it is more about gym shoes and Russians. But what I'm saying is that people are able to look at their experiences and make a decision, whether I agree with it or not. They've been able to look at their experience, look at the candidates who look like they're going to be on the ballot, make a choice about who they're going to support.
Yeah. And we've gone on record with public statements about some of our very serious misgivings about Trump. We've stated, you know, our misgivings about Biden. This is not about saying Black people should support him or not support him. What we're saying is give people enough respect to when they say they support some or don't support some, that they have their reasons. And if you don't understand, then ask them before you just go off. I doubt Van Jones was in the barbershop and said, yeah, I'm voting for Trump because of this one ad I saw on Facebook. Or this one post that somebody posted on Facebook. All we're saying is it's not about agreement. It's about saying give people enough respect to say they have their reasons. And if you want to persuade them, then try to persuade them. But don't weigh in on it when you don't know and haven't asked the questions. Don't assume that they're doing it for the most ridiculous reasons possible. And don't be so quick not to take some level of responsibility for it. Because people take that commentary, unfortunately, and they run with it. Oh man, Russia's about to mess up our elections again. I've seen no true journalism that said Russia, China, or Iran was really at a place where they were really about to ruin our whole election because they had so many ads and all this stuff that American people, that's what all they were getting, and that's the primary place where they were getting their information. I've seen nothing to that point. So
there's been research to suggest the very opposite, right?
That right, even to very little, right?
that has been attempted, it just has not had a significant impact.
So before making those comments, again, and that's why I say those comments seem to be very partisan, very much trying to create, you know, an issue that's not necessarily there. Even if you disagree with people, even if me and Chris disagree with the stances that this 20% is taking, it's still 20%, right? It's not 50%, it's not 40%, it's still 20%. Even if we disagree with them, I'm not going to automatically dismiss them. And what we see in this clip is really dismissing people. And I think to the Democratic Party's detriment.
Yeah. And I think almost to both, right? Because that's the real heart. Right. When you make that assessment, what you're doing is letting yourself off the hook for taking people seriously. Right. So if I'm in the Fox News Donald Trump camp here, then I don't have to make serious policy proposals and campaign to Black folks. I just have to get indicted and release gym shoes. And if I'm sitting in the seat with Van Jones and the Democrats, then there's nothing I can do. I can't change my strategy. And the Israel Gaza conflict, I can't do anything on voting rights or policing reform or student debt or healthcare. There's nothing I can do because, you know, it's the Russians. And that's the part that is most infuriating to me, is that both sides kind of create a false environment in which they don't have to take people seriously.
Right. No, I mean, that's it. Only the elites can see through the propaganda that everybody else is just at jeopardy of changing their whole identity and everything else about how they engage. But the elites can see through it. Nobody else can. So, yeah, I think some of this stuff is lazy. I definitely think it's insulting, but it is what it is. Make sure that you ask people why they believe something and don't just take somebody else's word for why a whole group of people is making a decision. And that's not to say that people don't make decisions based on things that don't make sense. It's to say, I'm not going to make the assumption that that's the case. I'm going to have a conversation. And the people that I know that are leaning away from the Democrats aren't doing it for any of the reasons stated by on the right or the left for them doing it. We will be right back on the Church Politics Podcast. We're back on the Church Politics Podcast. This next topic, Chris, comes from a tweet that I sent out. Was it yesterday or the day before? I think it was yesterday. And I was wondering something, but I want to start with some facts. California faces a $68 billion gap between its revenue and the spending that it has budgeted. Its population is declining as hundreds of thousands of people leave the state. Texas gained 471,000 people. Florida gained 417,000 people from the years 2021 to 2022, while California in that same time lost 114,000 people. California's housing is sinfully unaffordable. Its poverty rate is at about 13%. Homelessness is out of control, and the state has one of the highest rates of income inequality. Now, in Texas and Florida, income grew by 5% between 2021 and 2022. It declined by almost a percentage point in California. Crime is out of control because of the new progressive method of reducing crime by refusing to prosecute crime. And a few years ago, only 16% of Black students in California schools met the math standards, and its absenteeism rate was at 30%. Now, I don't say this to down California, and I really don't. I love a lot of people in California. I like California, except for the Lakers. But I really am just stating the facts, right? These are just the facts. Yet, something very strange is happening, though. Somehow, California Governor Gavin Newsom's name keeps popping up in conversations about replacing Biden. And I'm trying to square some of the things that California is going through to a governor out of all the governors in the 50 states that are Democrats, how this governor is sticking out to be like the heir apparent in the Democratic Party. It can't be because people think he has better outcomes than most Democratic governors. Is it just about profile? Is it just about rhetoric? Is it just that he knows people? One of my homeboys, when I put this up, one of my boys was like, man, you know, it's just because he's on television more, right? He has those connections. He's bold enough to go do it. He's the governor of a big state. And even though the state isn't doing that well, he seems to be one of the main names that people talk about. And I just want to know why. Maybe you guys can email me and tell me why. Why, based on his performance, based on the numbers related to his performance, would this be the guy that you're choosing? Now, we've spent this whole episode talking about not dismissing the reasons people might vote for somebody or for support somebody. And I stand by the idea that the analysis that we mentioned earlier are completely wrong. But I want to know why you would accept this guy as the next guy. Because to me, what's happening is, as my boy said, the media is pushing him forward. He's bold enough and he can answer any question with a straight face. You know, I thought, not a DeSantis fan, not a Gavin Newsom fan, when they, I did suffer through watching them the debate. And one thing I noticed about Gavin Newsom, Chris, was that no matter how bad the situation was and how bad the facts were for California on a certain issue, he would answer the question straight-faced, shamelessly, and just get through it like nothing was wrong. It was just no shame. No, yeah, we got to improve there. It's like, what are you talking about? Like, you could name a statistic that was clearly correct, and he would just act like it was a lie and that he was telling the truth. It was almost scary. So he is a very polished politician. I think that has something to do with it. I think people feel like I've heard people say he explains Biden's record better than Biden explains his own record. That's great. But what about his policies now and what his policies are doing? And one thing that I fear about people supporting Gavin Newsom is his effectiveness in attacking the other side. I think that's part of the reason why some people like Trump, because he goes so hard at the left and he does it in a way that is ruthless. Are we all really going to continue to choose our leaders based on that basis? Are we choosing them on attractiveness? Are we choosing them just on profile? What is going on here? Because based on policy and true leadership, leading your state towards where it needs to go, I don't see anything but failure there. And yet somehow, this is the name that pops up. So to me, Chris, this is an instance where we see, unlike the other three examples we gave earlier, there is a brokenness to how we're making some of these decisions. And this is the nuance that we have to deal with, the nuance that we have to say, hey, don't give a bad explanation of why I may be voting, but then also realize that some people do have bad explanations as to why they're voting. And so that's why I'm asking people, when I look at the numbers, please give me a reason why this would be the first person to pop up. Because we can name a lot of other governors in a lot of other states that are Democrats that might be a better person to bring up to this point. But that's just not what's happening. And I think it's an instance of the brokenness within our system and the brokenness within our perceptions. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think you put your finger on it. And I'll say this as somebody who has participated in Democratic Party politics, run for office, supported campaigns, volunteered the whole nine. Nobody's voted for Gavin Newsom. Unfortunately, what you see is more of a selection than an election. And I think increasingly we are moving, I think as a society, but especially inside of this party, to a much less democratic approach to how we find our candidates, right? Rather than having an open primary process where voters, Democratic voters, Democratic Party activists, and all those types of folks get to listen to candidates, make their case, and weigh through something like their record, right? What have you done in California? Like, don't explain Joe Biden's record. Explain your record, right? And let people hear that and make a decision among a group of folks who want the role. You see this tendency now for donors and media to coalesce around folks. It doesn't matter about their record. It doesn't matter about their experience. Because, you know, you look at, I was looking at one article that was looking at, you know, sort of top five folks who might replace Joe Biden should he step aside. And, you know, you have folks on there who many of them are simply media creations, right? And I think that is really important as voters and citizens and politically active and involved people that we sort through that effort, right, for donors and media to anoint certain folks as the sort of heir apparent to some political position. And it's not just the president. So you see this even happening more and more in state politics, local politics, where long before there's a real process, money folks and media folks coalesce around a person or a few people and elevate them to a certain place where we feel like then as voters that we almost have to choose them or something is wrong if we don't. All the things that you laid out, I think is great reason for the media to coalesce around Gavin Newsom. He is a very savvy politician. He seems to love the fray, which is, you know, as part of running for president. But nobody's chosen him right now except for donors and media.
That's it. And I think as a people, we need to push against that. Right. We need to say, no. We make these decisions. You do not make those decisions. So when you see people kind of slip into, no, he speaks so well. Yeah, but he doesn't govern well. Right. He does not govern. I mean, and I'm open to it. You guys, you know, if you're a patron and you get the premium episodes, you can send questions into us and we will answer your questions. That's the other thing that I didn't mention. If you're a patron, we will answer your questions. Please tell me what he does that shows us that Gavin Newsom actually governs well. That's what should matter. Okay. Not how well he attacks Trump, not how well he can smooth his way towards acting like the Democrats are doing everything right. No. How does he govern? And let me just show you my heart on this, on both ends, because y'all know me. I don't care about either party. People suffer when we put people in office who talk good, who look good, but don't know how to do their job, who would rather have these partisan fights and spew propaganda everywhere, but don't actually take care of the X's and O's and the services that people need to make their lives better. He's not doing that. And so when we fall for the okie doke and vote for somebody and start supporting somebody because of all these external things, all these superficial things, it's on us. And people suffer. It's not a game. So this ain't about hating on Cali. This is not about hating on Gavin Newsom. This is not about hating on Trump or Biden. This is about the fact that people need help. Immigrants need help. Poor people need help. People with a whole bunch of student loans that can't find a job need help. We have to engage seriously and make serious decisions and be very deliberate and thoughtful. That's what this is about. Go ahead, Chris. Take us out, man.
Yeah, and I think that media especially really falls short of their obligation to society when you don't ask those questions. Thank God you speak well. I got to tell you, I miss the days of a president of the United States who can articulate an idea in a cogent and effective way. That is an attribute. But what have you produced in your career? Especially somebody who's a governor. I mean, you've been the chief executive of an entity of government. Let's look at the track record. Like, how are you running things? And we should at least be able to inspect that. And the role of media used to be, and I hope that one day it can return, to help the people inspect those types of things and not just push forward the narrative. But unfortunately, a lot of folks are just not interested in doing that right now.
Yep. So again, do not just dismiss why people might be pushing, moving their support over to somebody, but at the same time, understand the nuance that sometimes we don't make decisions in the way they should be made. Or to your point, Chris, we allow donors and the media to make that decision for us. This is the ugly, nuanced, complicated truth that is us. And Camp, you know what it is. There's a cross that neither political conservatism nor progressivism is fit to bear. There's a civic hearing in need of faithful witnesses who love social justice and won't surrender the truth to be loved by the world. politic with the boldness and compassion of Jesus Christ. Until next time, Ann Kemp, we'll holla at you.
This episode was brought to you in part by Wheaton College's MA in Humanitarian and Disaster Leadership, which prepares Christian professionals to serve others faithfully and excellently. Called to help people facing disasters, human trafficking, poverty, or displacement as refugees? Visit wheaton.edu/hdl.